Good morning, church. It's good to be here on a beautiful, cold, sunny day. Kind of felt like fall came all of a sudden. That's okay. That's good. I'm going to begin by reading our passage, and it's found in 1 Thessalonians. So if you have your digital Bible, your phone, there's Bibles in the pews in front of you. Somebody, if you could find 1 Thessalonians for me in the Bible in front of you and tell me what page it's on. 1 Thessalonians 5. So if you could find 2 Thessalonians, we're at the very end of 1 Thessalonians. So 1 Thessalonians 5. Does anybody have the page number? Most people, pardon me? 988. So if you don't know what page to go to, it's page 988 in the Bible in front of you. And I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting in verse 12, there's a letter that a man named Paul wrote, a man who was an evangelist. He traveled about teaching and proclaiming the good news about Jesus Christ. He had an amazing journey. You can read about it in Acts, where he met the Lord, was changed. In Acts 17, you can read about how he came to Thessaloniki, I don't know how to pronounce it. And there began a small church, proclaimed the gospel, told people about Jesus Christ, wasn't well received, and so you can read about that. There's a great conflict there. And so he wrote this letter, he wrote 1 Thessalonians later on to encourage that church to continue to teach them and to help them grow. So that's kind of where we're picking up and reading what he has written. So this is from chapter 5, starting in verse 12. And I know I said to 18, but I'm just going to read right to the end, 28. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See to it that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. When I was young man back in the day, I finished high school, and my family relocated to Sweden. And my dad had roots there. He had been Swedish, and so he could speak the language, and he decided to take a job in Sweden. And so being someone who had no clue what they wanted to do out of high school, I decided, you know what, this is great. I'll just move to Sweden with my family. And so I did that. And if you know a little bit about Sweden, it's I know Canada gets called a socialist country. Sweden is a genuinely socialist country. And so one of the things they do when you move there is they want to see you grafted into the culture. So in order to engage in the culture, you got to learn Swedish. And so they paid me to take Swedish lessons. They gave me free transit. They gave me a free hot meal at lunch. And they let me go every day and learn Swedish. And after you reach a certain level in your Swedish, then they would help you find a job, get you a job, pay taxes, because we need more taxpayers. And so then they help you find a job, and they send you off. And so I want to talk a little bit about that experience of learning another language. I know many of you have had to do that. When you first begin to learn a language, and this isn't, I mean, I know that many of you have studied French in high school, and it probably, a bunch of you, it just stopped right there, and you never really engaged in it. This kind of scenario is quite different. I was living in a foreign country. I had to learn the language in order to understand what's going on around me in order to communicate, because I was going to get a job. And so when you first learn a language, there's a lot of, when I would speak Swedish, I would have the English phrase in my head, and then I would translate it into Swedish. And of course, you got to kind of remember all their rules for how do you say something in past tense, how do you say it in the perfect tense, and all these kinds of things. And you can't just always translate word for word. You got to remember that sometimes their word, like went, means actually walking went, not just went. And so, like, different things like that, all these rules you got to kind of keep in your head. And so, when you're speaking, it can be a little bit slow because you're processing all this stuff in your head while translating. But eventually, as you kind of learn the foundational things, and especially for me, once I started working at the factory, just interacting with people, with a little bit more time and a little bit more experience, you begin to think more in this foreign language, in my case, Swedish, where I didn't have to think of the English phrase first, where I already knew how to format my sentence. Eventually, you'll get to a point where you can actually dream in that other language. Let me tell you, that was a weird phase to be at. And there's a lot of parallels between learning a language and learning to live the Christian life. For most of us, and I don't, there are the odd and rare circumstance where someone becomes a Christian and their life just completely changes and they're a whole new person. For most of us, our experience is one of a journey, like learning another language. We have to learn new ways of thinking, new ways of seeing the world. And it's not just a matter of putting it in your head and saying, okay, that's reality. It's another matter to live it and to really believe it. And so Paul, when he's writing to this church, he's writing to them and saying, here's the way that you're called to live. Here's the way you're called to think. Here's the way you're called to see the world. And so I just want to primarily focus on one verse, but it's in a context, so we have to capture the context. And it's this one that captured me as I read this passage. And as a young person, I was very aware of this verse. And it's verse starting in 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Those are hard verses. You know, if it was just give to the poor, go to church on Sunday and sing songs, that's easier. But to rejoice always? To give thanks in all circumstances, to pray always, that always word, that's really tough. And sometimes people have misinterpreted this passage, that they've misapplied this passage. And they read this and say, ah, well then, to be sad is sin. That's not true. I've had misguided Christians, well-intentioned, but maybe misguided Christians come to me at a time of grieving or sorrow and just be exuberantly happy. That's disconnected from what's going on. God isn't calling you to live an existence that's disconnected from reality, where somehow you're completely, all this difficulty could be going on, and God's not calling you to just say, look, just ignore it all and live in a little bubble and it's all happy rainbows and roses. Don't worry about anything. That's not what God's calling us to. He's never called us to live a life that's disconnected from our humanity or from reality. He's saying something more. And there's at least a few reasons, I think, why we struggle with these words of Paul. We're called to rejoice always, when we're called to be to give thanks in all circumstances, to pray without ceasing. And at least two of the reasons are our past and our future. See, from our past, we end up carrying shame. You can look back on your life and you can think of times where you really regret saying and doing something. Or maybe you can look back on your life and you would say, you know, I really regret not doing something. Or I really regret not saying something. And so immediately you take on shame. Not only that, but when you look at your past life, and the longer you live, the more you'll experience this to be true, that life hasn't always gone the way you thought it would. Maybe you thought, you know, if I believe in Jesus, life will be easy. I won't have as many struggles. But the reality is for you that, you know, life's been actually pretty difficult. There's been some real hardships. Stuff I've gone through that I really wouldn't want to go through again. And then you're faced with the future. I think, wow, if that's how it went in the past, I'm worried about the future. And we spend a lot of time trying to control what will happen in the future, somehow set boundaries for ourselves, secure ourselves. Because if there's one thing we really know, it's that we don't really control the future. We try to, but we don't. And so that can cause a lot of fear, anxiety about what could be, what could happen. And the Bible talks to a lot of these things. And the Bible brings a lot of wisdom and direction in these areas. The Bible's very clear that Jesus Christ forgives you for your sins. That though there may be things that you have said or done that you deeply regret and carry shame for, He knows them, and He loves you still. It can even be the things you thought. Not what you did, but even what you thought. He knows it. And the Bible assures us He loves you. And He's made a way that you could be forgiven and be restored to Him. The Bible also teaches us that we may go through difficult trials and difficulties. And He says, you know, those things aren't, there's two things about those. One is that even in those difficulties, God is working, and God is moving, and people may do harsh and difficult things to you, and God says, from that, I'm going to bring new life. I'm going to bring hope. I'm going to bring transformation, and that transformation, that hope, and that life is going to be for you to give to others as well, to encourage them and help other people grow. When it talks about the future, looking ahead, in Philippians 4, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. So he says, the authors of the Bible were aware, this is what people worry about, the future. And he says, if you're worried about those things, pray and trust God. You can do that, and don't worry. It also teaches us in Proverbs 3, verses 4 and 5, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in every situation, and He will guide your paths. So why do you worry about the future? He will guide your paths. But all of that, many of us know in our heads. But sometimes it's a long way to go from our knowledge to our heart and to really do those things, to really rest in God, to really be at peace with not knowing the future, to really be at peace and grateful for the past. That's another step in your growth. That's like not just going to the language school where you learn the rules. That's what we've talked about. But where you actually begin to speak the language and it's starting to become fluent for you. To really move into that level is like another level of maturity in the Christian faith. And it's something that we're going to be growing in all our life. It doesn't matter your age. Something's going to come and it's going to challenge you. And it's going to be an opportunity for you to grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. In this passage, Paul gives us some direction in how we can mature in our faith and how we can really grow in the present, knowing all these things that we read about and that we've heard, and maybe you've read on the mugs at the Christian bookstore or whatever it is. How do we apply those? How do we get those so that they're really deep down within us Well, in this passage, he gives us a few things. So again, starting in verse 12, chapter 5, verse 12. We ask you, brother, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. The reality is that God has organized and structured the church, and he's given pastors and elders to the church. And those are a gift from God to you for your growth. God has given us a pastor, Daniel, now. We waited a while for him to come. He's here now. And I had the opportunity to serve as a pastor a while back. And let me tell you, there is nothing that's more satisfying as a pastor than to have someone call you and they want to talk to you about God and about how God intersects with their life. I personally did not enjoy the arguments on eschatology, on end times and how it's all going to end. I wasn't too interested in all that kind of stuff. But boy, did I love talking with people when they were going through a challenging time. Maybe they're struggling with a temptation. Maybe they're struggling with a fear. Maybe they're struggling and walking through grieving. And to be able to walk with them through that and point them to the scriptures. It's a gift from God. And so what a gift it is to have a pastor and to have a leadership team that will guide and direct and protect you. And so we should esteem them. That means listen to them at the very least. And that means, because this is going to happen, maybe even receiving some of their correction. We want to receive their encouragement, but sometimes we got to receive their correction too. We live in a world where we have an abundant access to knowledge and wisdom on the internet. We can read a million different things, and our Instagram feeds feed us stuff, and people are saying stuff. They have no clue what they're talking about, but they're saying it assuredly and with confidence, and so we believe it, and it's just not true. And sometimes our experiences align with what we're hearing, and we think, ah, God must be this way or that way. And we need someone who's mature in the faith to come alongside us and to say, you know what, that's not actually true. This is what's true. And let me show you in the Bible where it's true. And so what a gift it is to have a pastor and to have spiritual leaders who can help us grow. The church has several. And different leaders, maybe in small groups and Bible studies. And so to mature in the faith, realize that you don't walk alone. That here available to you are resources. Any one of them would love to have you call and say, hey, can we get together for coffee? And then don't waste a lot of time small talk. Go right to the weeds. What is it that you're struggling with? And engage in that. What a gift that is. I feel like I'm writing checks that Daniel's going to have to cash later, but but I'm sure he's going to appreciate that. He would love to connect with you and love to encourage you and to be that voice in your life. Let's continue to read this passage. And it's in my eyes, there's going to be a day when I need to wear my glasses up here. Continuing on in 13, be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See to it that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Another thing that God has given you, he's given you leaders and teachers, and God has given you community. We in Canada are privileged to not have to walk alone. I imagine it would be extremely difficult for Christians living in remote parts of Iran or China to freely gather and worship, and hard to trust and to know who you can trust. But here we can gather freely. And that is, you know, it's funny. Sometimes it's not until you go away that you realize how much you have. I had the opportunity to travel to Africa, and we went to little villages, and to see the poverty and the way that people lived. one of the things that I came back with was a greater awareness of just how wealthy and fortunate I am and the resources that are available to me. And this is a resource that is abundantly available to us, Christian fellowship. And that could be here in the church, that could be in your family, that could be with a close Christian friend, and that might not be someone in town, it might be someone out of town that you connect on the phone. But we're called to not only look for friends, but to be those friends. And this is a way, we can't, the Christian walk is a long walk. And if you're traveling a long way, how great it is to have someone to travel with, especially when you're going someplace you've never been before. And this life, it's going to take courage, it's going to take patience, and it's going to take faithfulness. And what better thing to have other Christian brothers and sisters to walk with us and encourage us in that? Sometimes they'll admonish you and encourage you and lift you up. Sometimes you'll be that patient person, continually and again reminding and reminding your friend. Or maybe it'll be a time, again, like I said before, where they say, you know what, I think you're off in thinking that. I think your thinking is beginning to stray. Or maybe they'll challenge you in the way that you're living your life, saying, here's a scripture passage, here's your life, let's talk about this. But what a gift it is, and a necessary thing. And I know, and maybe this is even more heightened since the COVID era, that introverts especially, but people, have a really hard time with relationships. And you might think, well, I'm an introvert, I don't need other people. Yeah, you do. We were made for relationship. At the very least, when we talk about being made in the image of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, eternally coexistent, an eternal relationship. You were made in His image for relationship with God and with other humans. And it's in that relationship that we grow, that we mature. Sometimes it's a grating as iron sharpens iron. Sometimes it's an encouragement and a lifting up. But it's when we're in those relationships and as we're speaking about what we believe and how we feel and we're processing the scriptures together that we're maturing, that we're growing, that we have someone walking alongside us regularly. And so it is your responsibility to seek out those relationships and to be that person in a relationship. We're called to this. We're equipped for this. And again, I know that can be really hard. And if you need help in building and beginning relationships, talk to me and try to give you some ideas. But we have Bible studies, we have picnics, we have coffee. And it's just going to take a little bit of courage, especially at the beginning, to walk up to somebody and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. It's Thanksgiving. Here's something I'm thankful for. It's going to feel so awkward at first, but then they'll probably reply with, wow, that's nice, and here's something I'm thankful for. Or maybe just calling somebody up saying, hey, can we just have coffee? I love that as a pastor when people would meet somebody and it was a little different, right? Because you were a pastor, so people say, hey, can we get together for coffee? Yeah, sure. You just get together and talk about their life. It's the price of a Tim Hortons coffee. Well, Starbucks coffee. It's a little more, but you get together, you just talk about life. This is a great thing that's given to us, that we're not alone. Sometimes we can isolate ourselves. I encourage you, have those conversations. Seek out godly relationships. Seek out people who will challenge you with the scriptures. Maybe you can read the scripture together. Who are wrestling with the same things you are. Let's continue to read our verses that we read before. Rejoice always. Verse 16, sorry. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, continuing on to the third point, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. I'm not going to be able to go through everything that this verse teaches us. And so you may have questions after this service, though, but what do those verses actually mean? Daniel's available. I just want to touch on this one thing. This is the third thing that's given to us, and it's essential, it's important. God's presence. God's Spirit has been given to us. And what a gift it is. He's given us leaders in the church to help direct us and to shepherd us and to guard and protect us. He's given us Christian fellowship, friends and people that we can walk alongside and be encouraged by. And God himself has taken residency in our lives. God has made a way. God has made a way, and he said that I will now, where we in the Old Testament you saw God dwelling in the tabernacle or in the temple, and people would come to him. Now God said, no, now I will dwell in my people. And my Spirit's going to be there working, transforming, changing them. And it's not always an instantaneous thing. There'll be sometimes times when you're instantaneously released from some kind of a sin maybe that's held you, or a wrong way of thinking that's kind of held you trapped. But most often, it's a gradual, growing process, like learning a new language. But just like learning a new language, just like at one point I was able to speak Swedish and think Swedish first. Now, it didn't mean I was completely fluent. I still had to work on my accent. I still had to learn more words. I still struggled in different areas. Just like that, there'll come a time as the Spirit begins, as working in you and transforming you, that you become more fluent in the Christian life. That might be that you're understanding the Scriptures more. It might be that you're trusting him more. That might be that you're seeing him more in your day-to-day living. It might be that you don't have to look so hard for him because you're aware of his presence. And so what a gift it is that God would come and live and dwell us. And so for this, I would say, be aware first that the Holy Spirit is alive and within you. And you may say, you know, I don't feel any different, Stephen. Some people have said to me after they were baptized that, oh, I came up out of the water and just, oh, I was changed. That didn't happen for me. Some people talk about a moment maybe in worship where they meet God in a special way and they're just changed. And, you know, that didn't happen for me. I don't maybe always feel like God's Spirit's within me, but he is. I can pray and I ask the Holy Spirit to bring conviction, to bring direction, to remind, to bring healing, because God's at work within me, and what a gift. He's close. He's not far off. He's not up in heaven somewhere distant. He's here. He's present. He's within us. And in that being present, so I looked at the past, I looked at the future, but the present is where we live. And so that's where this all kind of, the rubber meets the road. It's the present where we live. And we can struggle a bit with our past, we can struggle with our future, but and we can struggle even with where we're at. But it's here where we actively say, here's the truths that are revealed in Scripture. And here's my heart, and I need to bring those together. And there's gifts given to you, the church, the Christian leadership, Christian brothers and sisters, and the Holy Spirit, all available to you to help that maturing and to help that growing so that you can become fluent, if you like, in the Christian life. And then you could begin to see God in your present. And then, that though you may be going through a difficult time, there's still something to celebrate. And though you may have regrets, or you've gone, maybe regrets about something, you can still be grateful. And no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, we can be praying. Just like Daniel said, really a lot of this is just about faith and a relationship with God. Saying this just last Sunday. But prayer is about a relationship with God. And it's in that relationship, yeah, now as I'm maturing in that, as I can see him in that, I can begin to be grateful. I can begin to celebrate. And if you don't know where to start, start in the small. So today, be present with Christ. Stop and take a moment. It's hard. I know I struggle. My attention can be all over the place sometimes. Stop and take a moment. Put your phone aside and just talk to God. You don't have to close your eyes. You could be doing it on the bus. You have your headphones in. Just turn the music off for a second. And just talk to him. Talk to him about what you're feeling. Talk to him about what you're feeling. And then enjoy the small gifts that he does give you. Yesterday, recently someone gave me a Turkish coffee and a Turkish coffee pot. And I like coffee. And I got to make the coffee. And you know, I just enjoyed the process of making the coffee, seeing the phone, sitting in a sunbeam in my living room. I was working on my sermon, but I stopped and just enjoyed the smell of the coffee, enjoyed the sun shining in my window, enjoyed life in that moment. Though there's other stuff going on, at that moment, I was just present with Christ. I knew he was there, and I was just grateful for the small gifts he was giving me. Start small and see how you begin to see God in more of your life. A few other things I wanted to say, and these just came last night as I was thinking, that if you can, and I am horrible at this, if you can, journal things that you're thankful for. My wife is really good at this, and she got us all doing it during COVID, writing out things that we're thankful for, and then being together and sharing those things that we're thankful for. Because when you're turning and looking in thanks, you're celebrating. And it leads to prayer because you're thankful to God for what he's given you. And not only that, it becomes a testimony that your kids will read later on in life. And who knows what generations will read later on in life. I have an excerpt from someone's diary. Not my wife's, don't worry, Leanne. This is from John Wesley's diary. And it tells of a story when a poor porter, so someone who carries luggage at a hotel or something like that, it came to his door because he wanted to speak with him. And during their conversation, John Wesley noticed that his coat was threadbare and it was cold out. And John said to the man, you should get a warmer coat. We're coming into the winter season. And the poor porter said, it's the only coat I've got and I can't afford another, but I'm thankful to God for it. As they continued to talk, they were having a little snack or something to eat, and John asked the man, so have you had something to eat today? And the porter said, I had a glass of water this morning, and I'm so grateful for the nice cool water I could enjoy this morning. And they had a little something to eat. And a little bit after visiting for a while, John said, you really should get going, because there's a gate to the city. And he said, if we're too late, the gate will be closed, and you won't be able to get in, to get home. And John Wesley kind of said, what would you be thankful for then? And the porter said, I would be grateful for a dry place to lay my head. And John Wesley started to get a little uncomfortable with the man, struck by how grateful this man was for the smallest of things. And Wesley, deeply moved with the man's sincerity, said to him, you thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, and no bed to lie on. What else do you thank God for? And the simple man replied, I thank God that he has given me a life, a heart to love him, and a desire to serve him. After that, the man left with a new coat from John Wesley, some money for some food, and words of appreciation for the witness that he had made And John Wesley wrote in his journal, "I shall never forget that porter. He convinced me that there is something in religion to which I am a stranger." Are you a stranger to that kind of a walk, a knowledge, a relationship with God, where even in the difficult times, there's something that you can be grateful for? Even in the difficult times, there's something that you can celebrate. I'd encourage you this Thanksgiving season, begin a journey where you move closer and closer to Him, where you increase in your intimacy and your trust with this God who is not far and is eager and available to have that relationship with you. Amen.